Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. And let's all stand together. You've been seated a while. We'll give you time to stretch your legs and as we honor the Lord's word together as we read Titus chapter number 1. If you can't having trouble finding it, go to 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, just that little epistle. Three little chapters Paul wrote to that God felt necessary to put in our Bible. And boy, I'm glad he did. It's so this little epistle is so just slam-packed full of truth that is relevant to us today that we can learn from. And so I want you to take your Bible and look with me. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee, this is Paul speaking to Titus, Paul said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Preaching with the help of God this morning on the subject, setting things in order. Setting things in order. Paul said to Titus in verse number 5, he said, for this cause I left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And so, without going into a great deep introduction and giving you where Crete was and what Crete was made up of and what kind of people these people were, and there was obviously some problems going on there, because Paul addressed that in our text. He said there are some things that are wanting. There's some things that are lacking at this church at Crete. I will say Crete was just a beautiful place. It was a tropical island. And I'm sure Titus felt like, boy, I must be God's favorite. He called me, and poor old Brother Alex has got to go to Iceland, but Titus got to go to this beautiful tropical island. And so I remember being in missions conferences here. I'm trying to remember that missionary family. Who's the missionary family that came, and they were missionaries maybe to Hawaii or... my goodness, I can't remember their name. But anyway, they would go to Hawaii and they'd go to all these tropical islands and minister to those who would be there, and then be in the same missions conference here with those who were going into Red China and those that were going into the jungles of Africa. And I couldn't help think to myself, I don't want to be a missionary to Hawaii. But if I was going to have to be a missionary, I'd much rather be one to Hawaii than I would the jungles of Africa or Red China or anywhere like that. I thank the Lord this morning God called me to Pacolet, South Carolina. I do. I absolutely do. But this place, this church that Paul is dealing with and writing to Timothy about, the Bible said that they had things that were wanting. And Paul was addressing him and telling him that it was his job, that it was his purpose, his, to use the Bible phrase, for this cause. It was Titus's call and cause. His sole purpose was to go to this church in Crete and to set things in order. I don't know about you this morning, but as a pastor, I understand, having pastored two churches that from time to time, left unchecked and left undone, things around the house of God can get out of order. Things can go wanting. Things can go lacking. Ministries can go without the correct attention necessary and needed. Different groups in the church can go and be overlooked. Say, our youth. Some might say, well, my goodness, and I've heard this, our church, all they ever care about and all they ever talk about is the young people. They don't care about none of us. Well, that's not the case. We have ministries for every age group in our church. We facilitate a lot of those ministries through the Sunday school. You have a Sunday school class, and those Sunday school classes are set up to address and to put you around people of your age and people who are like you, and that's a way that we can put a group of people together and minister to you. And we do have our youth, and we do have our young at heart, and we got different ones in our church, and we should. A church is a place of ministry, but how would it feel if we forgot? Brother Jack and Anita do a tremendous job with our young at heart. They're constantly feeding them and trying to make them fat as their preacher. Say amen, Brother Neil. They do a great job, but if Brother Jackie and Miss Anita wasn't over young at heart and say they just sort of passed that on to somebody else, and next thing you know, you never heard any more about young at heart. Well, that would be a part of our church that was wanting and that was lacking, because they would have been overlooked and left out and forgot about. Same is true with our young people. If we never offered anything else to our young people, we never took them, I just mentioned in the announcements, we're going to take them to a revival where we can get them around other young people and other youth groups and hear good Bible preaching, and they need that. Listen, we're living in a day and an hour. It was hard when we were coming up, and some of you older ones my age and up ought to say amen to what I'm saying. It was hard enough when we were coming up. I mean, to face temptation and to turn away from temptation and the tricks of the devil. It was hard enough then, but I ain't gonna lie to you and say that, listen, these kids, these young people, these teenagers that are coming up and trying to live a Christian life in 2025 face a whole new world than we face. And so if there's ever been a time that they need attention and that they need, that we don't need to leave a group lacking, it's our youth. Because, by the way, a church without a youth program and a church without youth is a dying church by definition. And so Paul, under the inspiration of God, penned these words, and it's what I want to preach on. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Set things in order. Paul, in verse 4, shows us a side of his heart. And before I get into the crux of the message, I do want to mention this. In verse 4, Paul says, calls Timothy, calls Titus. He says, Titus, mine own son after the common faith. Titus had a relationship, not just any relationship, but almost like a father and son relationship with the Apostle Paul. It had a familiar tie. They had a relationship to where Titus followed under and served under the Apostle Paul. And listen to me. How many of you know that if you've been in the family of God any length of time, that there will be a familiar bond that grows between you and other saints of God? Absolutely. Listen, that's why we say brother so-and-so. Not just because that sounds good and that sounds like you say it because you heard somebody else say it. But I say brother David, or I say brother Jackie, because he is my brother in Christ. I say sister so-and-so, sister Kathy. You know why I say that? Because she's my sister. By blood, she's my sister. Ain't you thankful for brothers and sisters in the house of God? But Timothy, I can't quit saying Timothy. Titus was called by the Apostle Paul, my son. He said, my son after the common faith. Not just a son in the church, but Paul said, my son. I can understand what Paul means when he calls him son. I have had father figures in the house of God. I look to men like Andrew Carrigan as a father figure to me. I look to men and pastors who have pastored me, like Brother Larry Brown, who's now in heaven, Preacher Carrigan, who's now in heaven, Dr. Ed McAbee, who's now in heaven. These men, Brother Milton Taylor, who's still living, but these men have been father figures to me, and they have helped me and poured their lives into me, and I thank God that He puts those father figures into our lives. God's given, when I pastored in Georgia, God gave me mother figures. My mama will always be the only mama I ever have, because she's the one God gave me, and I wouldn't trade her for nobody else. But when we were 3 hours down the road, Mama couldn't always be there. Mama couldn't always be right there. And so God put women in the church, elderly women who were like mother figures to me. They would spoil me. They would cook biscuits for me and bring them to me. They would cook cornbread, praise God, and bring it to their preacher. They was like a mama. They would take care of me. They would hem my clothes. They would sew buttons back on my shirts. They were just mother-like figures that God put in my life. And I thank God for them. But I want to say this. If you've been saved and serving God long, hear me. Like Paul, you shouldn't just have brothers and sisters in the family of God. You shouldn't just have fathers, but you should become a father. You should have some sons in the faith. You should have some young men that you have led to the Lord. You should have some young ladies and listen, that you have put under your arm and that you have took in and said, if you'll follow me and I'll give you my time and I'll give you my attention and I'll give you all that you need, just follow me as I follow God. And thank God for sons in the faith. Thank God for the opportunity and the great privilege to train and to lead and to guide and pour ourselves in to the lives of younger believers. Amen. And so that's the kind of heart that Paul has. And then he says at the end of verse 4, something we can all say amen to and thank God for. He ends the verse with grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. How many of you is thankful this morning for the grace of God? How many of you are thankful this morning for the mercy of God? How many of you are thankful this morning if you got to sleep all night long and your mind wasn't tossed to and fro, and from the time you went to sleep to the time you got up, that the peace of God that passes all understanding was there with you? There ain't nothing like the peace of God. Ain't nothing like the grace of God and the mercy of God. And so Paul gets his point across, and he gets to the point in verse 5 when he says, even though I've loved you, Titus, I have to leave you. All the training that I've poured into you, it was for this time, for this cause. Because remember, Titus went with Paul to Crete as a companion. They went there together, but Paul left him there as a soldier of the cross to set in order the things that were lacking. And so, hurriedly, let me say number one about setting things in order. Notice the purpose of Titus' deployment. The purpose of Titus' deployment. Titus had went with Paul to the island, as I just said, of Crete as a companion, but Paul commanded Titus to stay behind and to do the work. Paul left Titus behind with a specific mission. Paul said, hear me, for this cause. When I read that little phrase, for this cause, my mind couldn't help but to go back and to another portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. It's when you remember the story. You remember that historical event where David was sent by his father to go down to the battlefield where the Israelites were in a battle and a raid against the Philistines, and all the mighty men of valor, all those great towering strong soldiers were over there in their corner. All of David's elder brothers, they were all in hiding because there was a giant in the land who was cussing God and saying, I'm going to kill all of you. And he was cussing God. And David's daddy sent him down there and said, go and take your brother some cheese and take your brother some bread. In other words, he was a pizza delivery boy that day. And he got down there to where he was supposed to be, and he gave the cheese and he gave the bread, and he heard the thunderings of that great giant Goliath cussing his God. And you remember what David said? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David was sent there to give bread and to give cheese. And he got there and seen what was going on, and he heard that uncircumcised Philistine cussing his God. And David said, is there not a cause? David said, I'm going to fight him because there's a cause. David said, I'm not just going back to the house and act like I didn't just hear what I heard. I'm going to do something about it because there's a cause. David said, I brought my cheese and I brought my bread, but since there's a cause, I'll pull out my sling and I'll pull out my stone and I'm going to deal with this uncircumcised Philistine because there is a cause. And I'd like to say to all of us this morning, I believe it would do us all good this morning to look around our life and to ask ourselves, what is my cause? What is your cause where God has you this morning? On this day, what is your cause? Because you have one. And your cause, we all know that we're supposed to be about the cause of Christ, but I'm saying God's got a specific cause. God's got a specific calling for you. And you should be busy about finding that cause. And then after you find it, you should be busy about following it and pursuing it with everything that's within you. So what is the cause that God wants me to pursue where He has me? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Lord, what is my cause where You have me? Titus could have looked around that tropical island and thought, well, God's cause must have been to give me a vacation. I mean, look at the blue, beautiful beaches. Look at the palm trees swaying. Look at the beautiful weather. Here I am at the what Baptists call it, the coast. Well, some don't call it the beach. They call it the coast. Well, it's the same thing. And I'm sure Titus thought, well, my goodness, boy, I've got it made, laid back in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. I mean, this is just plush, pretty place to be. Thank God for this cause. But that wasn't his cause. As beautiful as it was on the exterior, it was twice that ugly and that deficient and that wanting inside the house of God there at Crete. And that was his cause, was to set in order. Now, I've got to hurry, but can I say, we just looked at the purpose of Titus' deployment, and I'll close with this. Number two, notice the process of the church's development. The purpose of Titus' deployment was to set in order. Ain't that what we read? Hang with me for a minute. Listen, hang with me. I know what time it is. I ain't gonna hold you long, but listen to me. Number two, notice the process of their development. What is the cause? Verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. The Bible said that thou shouldest set in order. I want to call your attention to that phrase. I've studied this, I've preached from this text, but I've never seen this until this past week. Do you know what that word and that phrase, that three-word phrase actually means? It's actually a medieval medical term that referred to the setting of a broken bone. Paul knew exactly what he was saying. He said, there's some things down at Crete that are broken. There's some things, and your assignment is, Titus, that you go and that you set that broken bone back in place so that it can heal properly and go on without infection setting in and possibly that church dying from the breaks. And so that was his commission. So as we notice the process of development, how many of you have ever broke a bone? Raise your hand. Look around. Well, I have. My daughter called me from upstairs this morning, Daddy, Daddy. I thought something was wrong. Well, really, I thought it was a bug somewhere. Daddy, I said, what? She said, I think I broke my toe. Come look at my toe. I said, bring your toe down here and I'll look at it. Because I think I broke my belly. And I ain't kidding. I didn't break my belly, but I pulled a muscle in there somewhere. I said, come down here. And so she come down there, and she throwed that big clodhopper stinking feet up in my face. Y'all know I don't like feet. But she throwed that big old foot up there, and sure enough, it was, I mean, black and blue. I said, it probably is broke. But guess what? There ain't nothing they can do about it. So you're just going to have to live with it. But did you see how many hands went up when I said how many has broke a bone? Stay with me for a second. This is the message. How many of you have broken a bone and had to have it set back in place? Miss Wanda, that ain't no fun, is it? Have you ever had a dislocated shoulder? Or a dislocated ankle, even just dislocated. I rolled when this church used to have a softball team. I dove for a ball, and I realized about halfway into the dive, I was going to try to catch it and cut a flip, but it was a bad idea. And so I just eat the dirt, and that shoulder hit the ground, and then my body flipped over, and it tore my rotator cuff. Oh, that was rough. But I've seen people have a bone like, well, I've even had a finger just completely dislocated. And you talking about hurting to set that thing back in place, it almost if hurts worse than the break it or the dislocation itself. It's a very painful experience, but the very terminology that Paul uses to describe to Titus his mission, his calling, was that. His cause was to set some things that were broken back in place, back in order. Do you know that a doctor, when you go to the doctor, when you think you've broke something or you have broke something, you'll go in there, and they will touch it. Gets on my nerves. They'll say, let me see it. And first they'll examine it first, and then they'll look at it, and then they'll start touching it and probing and prying. No offense, Dawson. No offense to you nurses and you doctors. But then they'll ask that goofy question that they all ask. It takes them 8 years to get that doctor's degree before they can ask this question, I guess. Does that hurt? Well, duh. When my foot's pointing that way and my arm's pointing that way, I'd say it hurts. Shouldn't take you 8 years to figure that out. Yes, it hurts. The fact that it hurts. But what they are doing, listen, when they are pushing and prodding and asking those questions, they're looking to identify the specific spot that's causing your problem. They're looking for the exact place that was broken, which is critical because it has to be set back in place. And so as they go through these things, they're looking for that exact pinpoint place where the issue lies under the surface. You say, why are you talking about broke bones? What's that got to do with the church? If you'll hang with me just 5 more minutes, we'll be done and it'll all make sense. Did not Paul say to go set things in order that are wanting? He's saying these things that are broken down at the church house, and it's your calling and your cause, and I've ordained you to go and fix that that's been broken. The break had to be located. It must be examined thoroughly, and often They'll ask you the cause of the break. What caused the break? How'd you break it? What was you doing? How did it happen? Listen, when we find phrases like this in the Bible that speaks of a physical or a natural thing, I like to look and see the spiritual application, the heavenly application that God didn't by chance put it in the Bible the way he did to set in order. That old saying that meant to set in place a broken bone. God didn't put that in there by chance. God's letting us know we have things we can learn from a broken bone being set back in place, because churches, hear me, even the best of them, we break at times in certain areas. And I want to give you in the last 5 minutes, 4 minutes, do you know what the number one cause of broken bones are? Accident. Somebody said the leading cause of injury in of broken bones in older men is the failure to realize that they are indeed older men. And that's the truth. But accidents are the number one reason. Accidents, that which was not intentional, or without planning, or caught us by surprise. Now, Brother Jackie, I hate to hit you while you're down. But a couple of weeks ago, you was doing splits up on the third floor, and you thought you had learned your lesson. Then you went home, and you was on your tiptoes like an ice skater and trying to finagle boxes in socks on a hardwood floor. Now, I love you. I love you, and I'm glad you're back. But I bet you won't try that no more. It ain't funny. But wouldn't you say, Brother Jackie, it wasn't, what you did was not intentional? That fall wasn't intentional. The second part of that definition of accident is without planning. You didn't plan that too well. Miss Anita told me you have a step stool. She told it all, brother. She told it all. Just an ounce of preparation and planning would have saved you a lot of pain. But you know how we are, and I'm singling him out because he's as tough as leather. He can take it. But you know how we are. We'll just dive right into stuff and think, I ain't going to get hurt. I can handle this. It's just getting this box off of here, and before you know it, it happened to me. In Lowe's, Brian said, hey, grab that hot water heater off that second thing up there. Why he couldn't help me, I don't know. So I grab, they got two where you stick both your hands into the cardboard box to pull it out. I didn't see that there's another hot water heater sitting on the back corner of it. And so I just grabbed my hands in there and heave-ho and give it everything I got. And well, I weigh more than cardboard, and that cardboard just box just ripped, and next thing I know, I was on my back on the concrete floor in front of God and everybody. Wasn't too smart. Wasn't much planning went into that. It was an accident. It was not intentional. But do you know, my elbow is solid black and blue and very well could have easily broken. Because when you put this much weight and throw it up in there and let it land on your bones, it's apt to break. Do you know how many breaks happen in the church by accident? Things break that we didn't intend to break. Things break because we just got quick and in a hurry and decided we'll do this or we'll do that or we'll say this or say that or... And before you know it, they are breaks in the church because we didn't plan properly. We didn't take the time to do what was necessary in order not to break it. And so the first, the number one cause of breaks is accidents. Number, you know what the number two cause is? Bones are broken by overuse. I had never heard that in my life until Tommy had his little incident. Boy, I'm picking on the old people this morning. But Tommy was saying, I don't know what I've done. I ain't done nothing different. I mean, I just woke up hurting. I mean, just felt like an elephant was sitting on my hip. Well, my mama said, you did do something different, as most wives will do. Mighty fast to chime in and say, correct you. She said, you did do something different. You started walking a more, you added more time to you walking on your treadmill and you done this and you over, this is before I studied for this message. She said, you overworked that bone and I bet that's what done it. You overused it. Too much stress and strain in repetition can weaken the bone over time, and you don't even know when the fracture or the break really even happened because it came from repetitious use. Do you know how many churches get broken over just doing the same thing over and over and over and putting too much pressure on the same people over and over and over? And before you know it, you don't know where or when it happened. You just know that something ain't right and it's broken. We cannot afford for our church to get broken up just because we're doing things because we've always done them that way. We cannot afford for our church to get broken up because we use the same people over and over and over and we wear them down and wear them out and break them because nobody else is willing to step up and say, I'll do something and give them a break. I had so much more to go in detail, but number three reason bones are broken when there are sickness or malnutrition in the body. You ever heard of osteoporosis? I'm sure you have. Osteoporosis is when your bone density is being affected by a nutritional deficiency. Your bones are way more apt to break when you're not taking in the nutrition that you need. In the Christian life, can I say emphatically, this is the nutrition that you need. And the less of this that you take in, the Bible says this as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Deb, you're my next target. Sorry, but Deb broke her hip. And she was out doing something good and visiting Sister Bonnie and doing a good thing, her and Roy, on Christmas Eve. Christmas or Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve. And they was up there, and Deb, they had all these wires, and Deb got tangled up in them and tripped and fell and broke her hip. And I was talking to Roy, and Roy, I might get him in trouble, but Roy said, well, if I'd have fell, mine wouldn't have broke. Or it might have been Jenny who said this. Oh, I'll really get her in trouble, but she's gone. Said, well, if that had been Daddy that had fell, he wouldn't have broke his because he drinks about 10 gallons of milk a day. He don't drink that much, but he. You ever heard milk does a body good? Well, it does your bones good. It's got calcium and stuff in it. It builds. But. As Christian people, especially newborn babes, you ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. You need it. It's nutrients that'll keep you from getting broken and severed in the church. But then the Bible talks about how we ought to desire the meat of the Word. There's things as Christians who have been saved a long time, that if all we do is drink milk and stay on the bottle, that we will have deficiencies in other areas of our life. When we should be growing and getting stronger and thriving, we will end up breaking areas of our life, spiritually speaking, because we have not had the intake that God give us to prevent that. Then number four reason people break bones, we just get old. Age. Are you hearing me? Age. How old's our church, Brother Jackie? How old's Morningstar? 60, 59? Somewhere in that neighborhood? 55 years old. You know, after 55 years, things get more brittle and easily broken than when you're a young teenager and you can fall and get a car wreck and all kind of stuff and you just bounce right back from it. But when you get on up in age, things that maybe used to not bother you will break you. Say, what do you mean? I have already pastored one church. I'm pastoring my second now. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll pastor here forever until I die. I beg the Lord. That's the case. So I'm not looking for another church to pastor. Listen to me carefully. But I also ain't looking to continue pastoring this church if we're just going to be a broken church who lives by the mentality, well, we're doing these things because that's how we've always done these things. We get set in our ways. You ever heard that saying, if you ain't careful, your age will catch up with you? I don't want our church to get to the point and the place to where our age catches up with us. No, we should on purpose pay attention to that and say, well, if we've done it that way for so long, it may used to have worked, but now we've made it such a tradition that it ain't working no more and it's breaking things around the church. And if it's not anti-scriptural, if it's not contrary to the Word of God, there ain't a thing in the world that says we have to do it that way. There ain't nothing wrong with trying new ways. There ain't nothing wrong with trying angles and new, just, listen, I'm simply saying we don't have to do what we've always done just because that's how it's always been done. We can try new methods. We can try new youth activities. We can try all kind of new things, and we should, so we don't just caught up and get stiff in our old age, apt to break. My pastor I mentioned down in Georgia said this. He said it's easier, in reference to a young pastor taking a church versus starting a church. He said it's easier to give birth than it is to raise the dead. Both churches I've pastored was already in existence. I ain't never started a church, but I'm telling you, starting a church can't be harder than taking a church that's already set in their ways. And that's why he says it's easier to give birth than to raise the dead. Listen, in reference to starting a church rather than taking church, there's churches all over that are filled with people. And you tell me if this ain't true. There's churches all over that are filled with people inside the church only because of their kinfolk who were buried outside the church. You know anybody like that? Well, we still going down here to this church because that's where Mama's buried at. Can I say to you, If your mama knew how bad a shape and how liberal and how wicked some of these churches has got, she'd dig herself up out of the grave and move her own membership. And the final way is too much weight or pressure has been put on the bone and it breaks. So the spiritual application, Paul's saying to Titus, there's some things that are broken at the church of Crete. It's your job to locate what's broken, figure out how it got broken, and then begin to set it in order, set it, fix it, and allow it to heal properly. I said all that to say this. The worst part about a broken bone is this, and you know this, but it's true physically and spiritually in a church. When a bone was broken in the past and left unattended, was never set back in place properly, and left to heal improperly, it has to be broken again in order to set and heal correctly. And can I say, it is extremely painful. And when our churches have had breaks in the past and nobody set that thing that broke in order, nobody set it back so it could heal properly, it just was kind of left to itself to heal on its own. And can I say, unless we allow God to re-break it, and Paul said to Titus, it's your job as the pastor for you to go back and re-break it and reset that bone, as bad as it's going to hurt for a temporary time, it's much better to do that than for it to be left. Because if it's not set in order, it's going to hamper and hinder and ultimately kill that church all the days that church has left. A broken bone that's not set properly, there are people all over, and churches all over. But there's people in this church, and this church has been affected by what I'm preaching this morning. You know how I know? Because a broken bone that was never set right from the beginning is very tender to the touch. From then on, when you touch that spot that never got fixed, that was broken, you'll live with that till you die or until it's rebroken and fixed and left to heal properly. You know what our church needs? There are some areas. I don't know whether in our music, whether in our missions, our ministries, our relationships. I'm simply saying, whatever the case, wherever the break, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, break us again so this can heal properly and not bring a reproach on our church and not bring division in our church, and that people wouldn't roar up and stand up and get mad and aggravated over any subject that was never dealt with properly. And that's what Paul told Titus his whole purpose in going to Crete was to re-break the broken things that was left unattended and set them in order. And as a church, we should be willing, knowing it's going to hurt, but the short-term pain is so worth getting it done right, because otherwise we will live with the pain all the days of our church's life. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take this simple, simple message. Lord, help us to apply it to our life, our heart, our church. Open our eyes, Lord, and help us to see. God, I've allowed my right hand, Lord, I broke it. Lord, I cut the cast off early. And that thing didn't heal back. And Lord, it's still tender to the touch. It still don't work right. It still hurts on cold days. And Lord, as you reminded me of that, God, would you help our church? They some areas, they some relationships, they some ministries down through the years of our church that have been broken and left to heal without being set. I pray, oh God, you would deal with our hearts. God, if we were involved in that, and Lord, for all of us, Lord, you sent a pastor to them to set them in order, set things in order. Lord, I pray you'd help me, God, to be willing to set in order those things which are wanting and lacking. Do that for every soul, for every Christian, and God, oh God, do it for our church. For your name's sake, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, you can look this way. Thank you for coming this morning. I know. I kept you a long time this morning. It's 12:30. So what I'll do is, since I kept you to 12:30, I'll see you tonight at 6. What about that? Who was it? Porky Pig? That's all, folks. See, have a good afternoon. I love you. God bless you.